Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone and invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. So if there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call. We'd love to discuss it with you. Again, that number, 800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Richard, it's good to be with you again today.
Yeah, it is, Bob. Thanks for throwing it over here.
Yes, sir. It's a Bob, little bit different attitude coming around the table rather than just to my...
Yeah. Well, I want to start off with an apology to all of our listeners who live in the north. We've been cold here in Texas, and you know, cold here in Texas means it's, you know, like 30 degrees. And we had a half an inch of snow yesterday and just about shut the place down. And we know that the rest of you are having real winter. So we hope that my son lives in Minneapolis, for example. I don't think they've been above 10 degrees for the last 3 weeks. So, seriously, we've been talking about the new covenant this week, and we've started in 2 Corinthians 3 with verse 6, that we've been made competent as ministers of a new covenant. And I want to just summarize that today. And the summary, thankfully, is in the next few verses in 2 Corinthians 3. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Yeah.
Those verses changed my wife's and my life back in the day.
Yeah.
We honestly, I kid you not, we didn't know 2 Corinthians 3 was in the Bible. We'd never read it, didn't have any need to read it, because we had all the answers. And somebody said one day, why don't you read 2 Corinthians 3? And reading these verses literally tore the veil off of our eyes.
Yeah.
It's not that we hate the law. It's not that the law is bad. The law came with glory. The Mosaic covenant came with incredible glory, the glory of God himself, the Shekinah glory, but it was fading.
Mm-hmm, right.
And now we've got this new covenant in Jesus Christ where the glory never fades. And in order to see that glory, to experience that glory from the inside out, you have to have the veil taken away. And it can only be taken away in Jesus. Mm-hmm. You can't say logically, okay, I know the law is fulfilled, therefore I'm not going to do anything with it. That doesn't cut it.
Right.
The only thing that matters is coming to Jesus 100% and letting the Spirit indwell you. And then, much like the Shekinah glory filled the tabernacle back in Moses' day, the Shekinah glory fills us, and it's a surpassing glory because it never fades.
Yeah.
That's why we spend so much time on the new covenant. It's not that we hate the old covenant. It's not that the old covenant was bad. None of that. It's that something has replaced it, something that's better, because it's now internal to us instead of external to us.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'd love for you to really join us at 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call wherever you hear the broadcast, and we want you to be a part of this one. If you're listening in Sacramento, California, Northern California on KFIA, of course, you're hearing a delayed broadcast, and we encourage your call during the time that we're actually on the air, and that would be weekdays from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock Pacific time.
Central Time, it would be 3 to 4, basically. And for those of you listening in Denver, Colorado, you're hearing a live broadcast. The same for Louisville, Kentucky, for the Washington, D.C. area, and in New York City, and the New York area. We encourage your calls right now. If you're listening, this program is for you, and we want you to take part of it, take advantage of it. If you have a question, something you'd like to discuss, well, this is a great opportunity. We want you to call right now, 1-800-677-9377. I'm Bob Davis here with Richard Piper on this edition. Bob Christopher has the day off, and so we look forward to your call and want to talk with you.
Yesterday we had a caller that was not able to get into the program, and she stayed on the line long enough to describe the question that she had and the issue, and I thought it was really worth talking about today. Mm-hmm. This woman who lives in New York has a friend who's been a Christian for 25 years, recently joined a Jewish messianic congregation which focuses on Gentiles being grafted into the original Jewish olive tree at salvation. The friend acknowledges the birth of Christ and his resurrection, but no longer celebrates Christmas or Easter. She focuses on and prefers celebrating the Jewish holidays and festivals, citing that it was the way Jesus worshiped God. Caller is concerned for her friend and wants to know if she is getting off track or is just worshiping in an alternative manner. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for her friend. Here's what I will say. One of the very most meaningful ceremonies I was ever part of once was a Passover celebration described in the context of the New Covenant. Mm-hmm. And we went through the whole thing, the bitter herbs and the whole business, and it was stunning.
Yeah.
Because it was explained in the context of Jesus, mm-hmm. the fact that Jesus has fulfilled all of this in us. If that's the way this woman's friend is approaching the ceremonial festivals and all of that, then that's perfectly okay. However, if she is approaching this messianic Jewish congregation from the standpoint of, well, you're actually being grafted into the original olive tree, therefore the law applies to you, then she's getting off track. Mm-hmm. Jews are not even under the law anymore, any more than Gentiles ever were.
Right.
Okay. The issue of law now, after Jesus, is that it points out that in case we weren't paying attention, we don't measure up. It drives us to Jesus because we're such abject failures. Mm-hmm. Once you've come to Jesus, the law has done its work.
Yeah.
It's done. You say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the law. And then you move on to the new covenant because the new covenant is yours as soon as you come to Christ.
Yes.
So you have to know what the particular messianic congregation is teaching, what they stand for, their position on works of the law versus by grace through faith. So you can't just give a generic answer. You have to ask the question, who is Jesus in this congregation? What do they teach about him? What is their relationship with him based on? Because no one is justified by works of the law.
Right.
You just can't be. So there's some fascinating history. There's some wonderful imagery. It can all be an incredibly positive thing, or it can be a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And the organization's position on Jesus and what he has accomplished is the only thing that will determine which is which.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Richard. Plenty of open lines, friends. If you'd like to join the conversation, we want you to do that. The number 1-800-677-9377, Manchester, New Jersey. Let's talk to Richard, listening on WMCA. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing fine.
Yeah, doing great. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. I think you just kind of answered my question. Israel is under the new covenant, which I've concluded myself from Scripture. It seems like I'm running across some Christians who believe that Jews are under the old covenant to somehow justify a pre-tribulation scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what you thought about that pre-tribulation scenario.
If there is a pre-tribulation rapture, it's not because the Jews are under the old covenant and we're under the new. The Bible has verses in it that seem to indicate that a pre-tribulation rapture is exactly what's going to happen. And it has other verses that call that into question. And so rather than take a strong position either way, the way we approach the end of things, is that Jesus is being revealed. And if he chooses to leave the church here during that tribulation period, then we know one thing. This is absolutely the case. His children will not suffer the wrath of God, period. That would be an interesting witness in the rest of the world that is suffering the wrath of God. What's the contrast? Why are these people doing okay and we're not? So it gives you a chance to have a conversation. On the other hand, the Bible never says that we won't suffer the wrath of Satan and the wrath of the lost. All you have to do is look around the world today, outside of the United States, for example, and you see all kinds of persecution going on. And so I get a little nervous when certain believers preach an adamant pre-tribulation rapture because they say that it's not the church isn't going to suffer. Well, maybe the church in your neighborhood isn't going to suffer, but I guarantee you churches in the Middle East, in some areas of South America, in the Philippines, in Borneo, whatever its name is now, I just forgot, Myanmar, I think. There are various countries in this world where people are killed every day because they claim the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of disingenuous for us here in the West, in the richness of what we have, to say, well, you know, the first sign of trouble, Jesus is going to come and get us. That's not to say he won't, but that's not the reason he would. And indeed, to your original question, Jews are welcome to come to Christ anytime they want to. And all of us, Jew and Gentile alike, are saved by grace through faith. No one, not a Jew, not a Gentile, no one is ever saved by keeping the law, regardless of when the rapture comes.
That's my understanding, and I wholeheartedly agree with everything you said. I'm not adamant that the Lord can't come anytime he wants to.
Yeah, I'd prefer if he came this evening, actually, but, you know, that's his call, not mine.
Sometimes I feel that way,
yeah.
But I do think that a pre-tribulation rapture has become sort of a popular craze, and it's gone to an extreme where many Christians will not even accept the alternative possibility.
Correct. And that's the real problem. I was raised in a tradition that was adamantly post-trib for the second coming. And we wouldn't consider any other option. And what that does to you, whatever your position is, when you just absolutely dig your heels in and say it's got to be this way, is that you're putting God in a box that he will not live in. It's his choice when he does things. He's the initiator. We're the responder. And so I hold very lightly to things that are not absolutely unequivocally revealed in Scripture. I have my opinions, but they're just opinions. And I would never beat somebody up for believing like me or different than me in these kind of situations.
Well, I greatly respect your view. I think that some of these issues are unnecessarily divisive.
Yes. Yes. Satan loves it when we get into fights over this stuff, and there's no point to it.
Well, I thank you very much for your reply.
Thank you so much for your call.
Show.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Richard. Good to hear from you. Hope you keep listening and call again. Brooklyn, New York. Let's talk to Eugene, listening also on WMCA. Hi, Eugene. Welcome.
Hey, welcome. How you brothers doing?
We're doing great.
Good. You brothers are my co-workers in Christ. I just wanted to say that first and foremost.
Oh, thank
and
you.
And I wanted to speak about the new covenant in the old covenant. And I just wanted to say, and I don't have my Bible with me because I was driving and I just pulled over. But I'm just going to speak from what I know from my head. I know you guys will know what I'm talking about. But in Exodus, when after Moses had gotten the law from God, he put blood over it to make that covenant, you know, official. And when you go back to Passover in the Gospels, when Jesus had the Passover, the Last Supper, they were celebrating Passover.
Yes.
And Jesus, he changed it. Instead of speaking the same ritual, how he would speak about how the angel passed over, instead of the when he's speaking the ritual about the blood, he said, "This is my blood."
Yes.
Do you understand? And this is my body. So right there, when he said this, you know, I'm sure that the disciples were in amazement, not understanding what he was meaning. But he was, to me, it was the beginning of the new covenant.
You understand? Sure, because he certainly
his blood
declared
was going to make it official. Right, his blood was going to make it official the same way the blood that they sprinkled on the tablets made it official. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to hear your remarks on that. You know.
Yeah, I think you've got it exactly. I mean, Jesus did change the Passover celebration, which had to cause them to kind of look up and go, huh? But what he did in that celebration was say, this is the new covenant in mm-hmm. my blood. And so he absolutely declared the new covenant at that moment and used the wine to symbolize it, and then... You know, just a few hours later, when he dies on the cross, they look at that and go, that's what he was talking about. And that's right. why his death ushered in the new covenant. Truth is, when he was dying on the cross, they were all running for their lives, except for John. When it became clear to them was the day of Pentecost. When the Spirit right. took up residence in them, everything changed. And that's why the new covenant is so important for us, too, because the Spirit explains the new covenant to us.
Right. I just have one more question, and I'll get off, and I'll let you guys answer when I get off.
Okay. But
the question was, you know, I was reading the Bible, and I came across something. I believe it was in 1 Peter, and he spoke, and he says, and I think this is in 1 Peter, and it's in the book of Jude, when they both spoke about the devil fighting with Archangel Gabriel over Moses' body. But mm-hmm. I couldn't find that in the Bible. I know it's in another book, and I just wanted to find out if you could let me know where I can find this book and read up on this, because these events happened. They both spoke about it, but it's not in the Bible.
Yeah, it's not anywhere else but in Jude and every place else, or in Peter. The passage in Jude says, but even the angel Michael, the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." And mm-hmm. and that passage is from the Apocrypha, actually, which is not in most Bibles. It is the Jewish Testament of Moses, alluding to this thing. Jude was using a source that was available to the regular population, but was chosen based on other issues not to be scripture. And so you have to admit that he, you know, Jude read other books, and in this case quoted that other book to prove his point, because what he's talking about is that they've got people who are slandering angels and slandering mm-hmm. God and doing horrible things, and he says, "Look, you know, not even Michael the archangel did the kinds of things
right.
you're doing. It was just the Lord rebuke you. I'm taking Moses, and that's how we're supposed to deal with it."
That was in the Apocrypha. That's the
yes.
name of this book.
No, the Apocrypha yes. is a collection of writings. Let me look this up real quick again. I believe the specific writing was called the Jewish Testament of Moses. You can look that up.
Does
in an
this
Apocrypha.
Have any significance with the New Testament? Like how you know things in the Old Testament relate to the New? Does this about Moses' body have anything to do with the New Testament at all?
Not necessarily. One of the reasons Jude ended up in the New Testament, though, is because at the Transfiguration, as recorded in Matthew, Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah. So clearly,
right.
Moses had been raised, something had happened, and because Jude is referencing that reality, they say, okay, here's how he was choosing to make it clear, rather than just saying, well, you know, whatever you quote, that's okay. I mean, Jude is actually referring to the reality found in Matthew's gospel about the transfiguration. So Moses is being raised is important in the context of the new covenant in the same way that anyone being raised is important in the context of the new covenant. You can't be raised to eternal life apart from the new covenant, because prior to the new covenant, sin was still an issue. So they were saved sort of by credit card back in the Old Testament times. They still had faith in the one true God. They still responded to God the way they were supposed to. And when they died, God just put them in a holding place. Some people call it Abraham's bosom, or you know, there's several different ways to think about it. But when Jesus finished the battle with sin and death, then they knew absolutely that they were absent from the body and present with the Lord. And so they were saved eventually, just like we are saved eventually.
Right. From a resurrection point of view. And the last thing is, Moses in Deuteronomy asked God, could he get into the land of Canaan? He begged God, and God told him no.
No, you
can't.
And
then I just thought, as I was reading the Bible, I came across on a mountain of transfiguration, who was it that appeared to Jesus but Moses and Elijah?
Yep.
So this is how good God is. Even though God told Moses in his body, in his tent, know that you can't get into the promised land, eventually Moses did get in, and he even spoke to the Christ.
Yeah.
So God,
well, Moses got into far more than the earthly promised land. I mean, he was taken to eternity because of this. And so... yeah, it's one of those eternity versus time things. It's just fascinating to think about, and it actually serves to give us hope, because we know that we are going to receive that same thing eventually. So thanks for your call, Eugene.
Absolutely. Richard, a couple of things we want to talk about as we get close to the end of the broadcast. I want you to talk about a little bit about the wonderful offer that we have going on. But right now, I'm not going to talk a lot about this, but I just want to broach the subject because it's new on our website. We have a fantastic Bible conference coming up here June 19th through the 21st right here in the Dallas area. It's a basic gospel conference called Stand 2014. Three fabulous speakers. I want you to go online over the weekend, get the information, plan to be here if you at all possibly can. It's going to be a great, great time. Again, go to basicgospel.net, and the conference is called Stand 2014, and we're looking forward to so much to that coming up in June. So make your plans now to be with us. And Richard, talk to us a little bit about this wonderful offer that we have for our new Bible study series.
Yes, this Bible study series is called The New Covenant Journey. And what we've done is to take the new covenant and use it as a wrapper around all of the key issues about who is Jesus, how do you trust the Bible, what is salvation, what is forgiveness, what do I do with law and grace and identity, and how do I live this life. The whole thing is there. And it's done in a way that I think will lead you step by step without being too... you know, just take this and accept it.
Right,
I mean,
we're
asking questions. We give you Bible verses. Interpret this Bible verse. Let us know what you think about this. And I think it's going to be a great resource for the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a great resource for people to use with those who don't know Jesus yet.
Sure.
Because it just leads you step by step through this incredible plan of God to initiate salvation to us and to explain what it is and why it's important. And we highly recommend that you get a copy as soon as you can.
It's newly released. It's our Bible study series. It's available for yours for a gift of any amount. And it's called The New Covenant Journey. The New Covenant Journey, our Basic Gospel Bible Study Series, for a gift of any amount. You can go online, as I said, to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage. Or you can call and speak with our operator during Central Time office hours. Today is a little bit shorter because we close the office at 5 o'clock Central Time on Fridays, and we'll let our operator go just a little bit earlier. So you can call 1-800-727-2828 right up until 5 o'clock Central Time and request your copy and make your gift to Basic Gospel. As I said, this Bible study series, The New Covenant Journey, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And if this broadcast is proving to be beneficial to you, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and for the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday after a wonderful weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.